Well, amen. Happy Father's Day again. The pastor will, prayerfully will be back with us next Sunday, and he will take up in Revelations where he left off. I believe he was in chapter 6 and 7. He's going to review 6 anyhow, right? And then we're going to move into 7. And if everybody would come every Sunday, he wouldn't have to keep reviewing. But he goes back and reviews to bring you up to date, amen? And he does an awesome job with the book of Revelations and everything else he teaches for that matter. But I know some of you are anxious. Well, when's the preacher coming back? And especially those out in radio land. But God willing, he'll be back next Sunday. He'll get back in the book of Revelations. However, this morning we're going to go to the book of Genesis to start with. We're kind of going to be bouncing around different places. It's Father's Day, so I was kind of trying to think of how we could bless you with what God has given us. And when you think of fathers today, and the worldly view of a father is not just exactly the proper view of a father. Amen. You watch the sitcoms and everything that they have on TV, and pretty much anyone can be a father, right? Male, female, doesn't matter. That's the way the world perceives fathers today, and they also see them as kind of lazy and slothful and kind of worthless and cast aside, right? Isn't that where the world's got a daddy at today? And I thank God for my father, because I never seen my father that way. He was a blessing to me, and he's in heaven today, and I wished he was still here with me, but I thank God that I know I'm going to be rejoined with him, and I'm going to see him again, and I look over my life, and I just thank him for all the things he did, amen? And all those spankings and whoopings that you did not want, you look back and you like, thank you, Daddy, you know? Because I look at the children today growing up, and there's no discipline, very little discipline. Even in our Christian homes, I'm sorry, but there's not very little discipline. I've seen children recently. I've seen Christian children speak to adults. And if you just spoke to an adult like that with my daddy around, it probably would have been a long time before you spoke again, period, right? You know, you just didn't do the things that you do now. Of course, nowadays we want to be gentle to our children, so we send them to the corner, stand against the wall or something like that. I prefer to go to the backside. You get more attention that way. But that's the way of the world. You know, you're not allowed to touch a child, or they're going to come after you and this and that. And I never believed that. I never let that bother me. And I never will. I'm not going to let it bother me. And before we move into this, did I tell you last week my wife and I went out to dinner and they separated you at the tables? We tried to go out last night. I get so aggravated, I'd rather just go home and eat a peanut butter sandwich. We stopped at a restaurant over in Winter Haven, and you walked in the door, and I kid you not, there was 20 people standing like this, crowded inside this little room. And then they tell you, well, there's about a 30 to 45 minute wait because they have to sit so many feet apart, so there's no room in the restaurant. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, one of us is retarded, and I don't think it's me. I mean, how can you stand 20, 30, 40, 50 people gathered tight like sardines, and then when you go to sit down, you have to sit so many feet apart? Now, I'm sorry, folks, but that irritates me. I don't want anybody to think that I am that stupid, that I can stand in a crowd of 50, wait for a table for 30 minutes that's 6 feet from somebody else. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let the world think that I'm that ignorant. I cannot stand there and do that. And the whole time, they got a mask on because they don't want to catch this invisible bug that's going around. And then if you do get a table, when they bring you the glass, they'll put their fingers in it. You know, I mean, the whole world's gone nuts. I just don't understand it. And I told my wife, it's just best that we just stay home. You know, it just irritates me to no end. I was aggravated all night. I didn't hardly sleep last night over that. I'm like, how do they think people are that stupid? And the sad thing about it is people are. They stood there for 30 minutes waiting for a table. And then they'll go in there and have to sit so many feet away and get mad if somebody doesn't have a mask on. I'm like, the insanity of all of it is absolutely ludicrous. I just can't deal with it anymore. I'm like, man, and now I heard that they're trying to pass a law that you have to wear a mask. I'll see you in Bartow. Because I'm not putting on a mask. You know, I mean, oh my soul. We better get into the lesson. Pastor, he'll be back next week. And I'm sure he's up there where there's not too many masks. Amen. All right, the book of Genesis, what I wanted to look at is some biblical examples of a father and how they apply to our lives. And we're going to start with the very first father, humanly father, which would be Adam. Amen. I know a lot of times when we think about fathers, we don't go back that far. We don't even think about God sometimes as being a father, but he's not just a father. He's the creator of all. Amen. So we're going to take a look at that as well. But go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 7. And it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Oh, that just touches my heart when I read that. Just to think that God breathed the breath of life into man. You understand that each one of us has the breath of God in us? You know, that just pleases me. When I read that, it just runs chills over me. To think that we have life because God breathed life into man. And then I also see that, and I see the other side of that coin, where I see he was formed from the dust of the ground. So when I see that, I never forget what John Brown said. We're walking, talking dirt balls. Well, we got a lot to be proud about when we look at it in that sense, don't we? So a lot of men today who are just so proud need to read that verse right there, because we're walking, talking dirt balls. God formed us out of the dirt of the ground. So anyhow, I just think that's amazing. But naturally, we're talking about Adam. And in Adam's life, we can learn a lot from Adam, good and bad. We kind of see both sides of the coin there. So with that being said, you know, we know that Adam strayed from God. He was disobedient to God, and that disobedience brought on a cause and effect. And today, you and I are still dealing with the disobedience of Adam. And Adam, being a father, passed that sin on to who? All of his children, didn't he? If we was to read over a little further over, we would see that Adam had sons in his own likeness. Now, the Bible says that God formed Adam in his likeness. And then when Adam has sons, they were created in his likeness. And at that point, Adam was a sinner. So we're born sinners. So when Adam sinned against God, when he was disobedient to God, that sin was passed to you and I. Now, us as fathers should learn something from that. When Adam was disobedient to God, that was handed down to you and I. You understand it's no different today. When you and I are disobedient to God, that affects our families. It affects our children. That's handed down to our children. Our children are learning every minute of every day, especially when they're little. And they watch us, and as they grow, they watch Dad to see what Dad does. I heard a song on the radio one time. I was in the car and couldn't get the gospel station. There was a country station on. I don't even remember the name of the song. I don't even know how it goes. I just remember one verse. I happen to remember that this little boy wanted to go wherever his daddy went. And his daddy wasn't going to a good place, is what I kind of perceived out of it. They was basically saying his daddy's going to hell. But the little boy said he wanted to go where daddy goes. Well, see, that's the effect that we have on our children. You know, when daddies need to realize that everything that we do is going to affect our children in their lives. Just like Adam sinned against God, and we're still paying for that sin today. We're still under the sin curse, and that's never going to be lifted until we hear the trumpet. Amen. So when we sin against God, we have the same effect. We're going to affect our children in the way they grow up. So it's important that we learn that. So we're learning the consequences of our actions at that point. And it's important to learn that we need to obey God. When we obey God, there's a consequences in obeying, right? There's a good thing that comes from obeying God. When we obey God, things will go well. When we disobey God, things are going to go bad. That's simple deduction there. That's things that we all know, but we don't apply them to our lives. We think that we're going to do things and get by with it. Doesn't work that way. That's one thing that Adam learned, didn't he? Adam learned that God sees everything. Nothing gets past God. And us as fathers need to remember that. Nothing gets past God, even today. And our children are watching. They're watching everything that we do. God's looking for, we see in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Look at verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Now what's God telling us? Free to eat. He wants us to do, but he wants us to be free about what we do. Adam had a decision. He had a choice. Adam was free to make that choice. And it's the same thing with us. We're free to make those choices. And it's up to us to make the right choices. And he wants us to have integrity. He wants us to take the responsibility. Now, what did Adam do? Look over in chapter 3 and verse 12. "And the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And what was Adam saying? When God questioned him about eating the fruit, what did he do? Adam was blaming God for it, didn't he? He's saying, the woman that thou givest to me. He's saying that you gave me this woman, and I ate. So what's he doing? He's not taking responsibility for what he did. He's trying to pass the buck. Now, I don't know, any of you guys ever do that? You don't ever do that, do you? You do that, Brother Lee, me too. You know, you lose a shoe and it's not your fault, right? You know, if I lose a shoe, I'm asking my wife, where's my shoe? And what you do with my shoe? And she'll ask me, why would I have your shoe? I said, I don't know, that's what I'm asking you. What did you do with my shoe? You know, we want to pass the buck along. And that's something we learned from Adam. Folks, we don't need to pass the buck along. Guys, we need to stand up and rule and take responsibility for everything that we do. And it's important that our children see that. It's important that our children see that daddy is going to take responsibility when he does wrong. And he's going to pay the consequences, but he's going to stand up and own up to it. And by doing that, we're teaching and guiding our children in the right steps and in godly steps. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, we're going to look at a little bit about Noah. Let me see here. For the sake of time, we're not going to be able to read all these verses and stuff, so I'm just going to touch bases on them. Well, we know that according to the Bible that Noah was a righteous man. He was a righteous man in the eyes of God. And God promises to protect them that follow and obey. That's Genesis 6:18. "But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into thy ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy wives with thee." See, when we follow God, God takes us in and protects us. And that's what we got to keep that in mind as daddies. And we see the obedience of a lifetime of devotion in 6:22. Noah devoted his life to God, and he was always trying to be obedient to God. And we can see that. Look at 6:22. Let's read that verse. 6:22. Somebody took it out of my Bible. "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Boy, I wished I could say that. I honestly wished I could say that everything that God has commanded me to do, I've done. What a blessing that would be to be able to make that statement. Folks, that should be what we want to do. We should be wanting to be able to make that statement. And that's an example that Noah gave to us. And so we should look back on that. And as fathers, we want to take those godly references that we get out of the Bible. And so we should want to be able to say that same thing. And now we know that Noah had his moment. We know that Noah had a moment that he had fallen. And we all have weak moments, every one of us. And we're going to fall from time to time. But we should still continue to get up and strive and strive to be better and to serve God. And that's the examples that we need to be as fathers. How about Abraham? Abraham was the father of many nations. God wants to, when we look at Abraham, we can see how God wants to use us in spite of ourselves. Amen? In spite of all that we do and the things, you know, sometimes we just don't think right. We just have our own way. We let the human part of us, the sin nature part, kind of want to rule our lives, don't we? Well, in Abraham, we can see that's not the way we're supposed to do. Look at 17:17 in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, just a couple pages to your right there. All right, 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" What did Abraham do when he told him he was going to have a son? Abraham laughed at God, didn't he? How many times have we done that in our lifetime? Think about that. That's kind of denying the faith, isn't it? That's what Abraham did. Abraham, basically, by laughing in God's face, was basically saying that God couldn't do that in which he said he was going to do. And how many times throughout our life do we do that with many, many things? That we look at things and we think that they're impossible, forgetting the fact that God can do anything. And us as fathers, we need to take that stand. We need to believe that, and we need to demonstrate that to our children on a daily basis. And how can we do that? There's only one way for us to be able to do that, and that's to be in God's Word. That's to be walking with the Lord, amen? That's where we need to be, walking with God. We also learn through Abraham that God's purposes and plan is revealed over time in obedience. In obedience. Sometimes we look at things and in our own lives, and we can't see the end, so we think things aren't right. But Abraham stayed faithful to God, and in staying faithful to God, he's seen the end results. He's father of many nations, amen? But in order to do that, we have to stay in the fight right there. We got to stay faithful to God, like Abraham did. And then Moses, the lawgiver, when we learn through Moses that everything is possible with God. How about when he took the nation of Israel out across a desert? Can you imagine being given that responsibility? Take a nation across a desert where a scorpion can't live hardly. I mean, nobody lived in the desert. It was just a pure miracle for him to be able to do that. But through Moses, we can see that God can do anything. How about we learn that God has a desire to have fellowship with man? In other words, God desires to have our fellowship. God wants us to be in fellowship with him. But how many of us today are truly in fellowship with God? I mean, are we in touch with God every day? Are we praying to God every day? These are things as fathers, we talked a little bit about last week about how a child watches mother and father just by eating and covering up when you're warm. They learn to do these things. You understand, as fathers, if we would take on this responsibility and have fellowship with God, and our children saw that, like that little song where that little boy wants to go where his daddy goes. But see, if we were setting those same good examples with God, and we're staying in fellowship with our God, do you think our children would not see that? Sure they will. Sure they will. And by seeing that, they learn that. And that has to come from a young age. And fathers, that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility as daddies. That's not mama's responsibility. You notice when we're looking at all these responsibilities right here, all these responsibilities point back to God, don't they? Everything points back to God. So as a father, everything that we're doing in our life should be pointing back to God. Everything that we do. And these responsibilities today, we're not seeing these things taken up in the home. Now, I know a lot of us say, well, you know, a lot of this stuff don't matter. And this, it does. Everything matters. You know, we've gotten a mindset over the years. And that's exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants you to have the mindset that it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters whether or not you believe God as Abraham did. It matters. I mean, how about when he offered up Isaac? How much faith does that take? Would you be willing to put your son or daughter on an altar today? Would you put your child on an offer and sacrifice their life? Would you be willing to do that? See, that's faith. And that's exercising the faith that he had in God, his heavenly Father. And that's the faith our children need to see in us. See, if our children could see that faith in us, do you think they would be walking in the way that they walk today as teenagers? You think they'd be out here throwing bricks through windows? No, there's no fear of God. There's no fear of judgment. There's no fear of anything. They don't fear the law, the police. They're just wild. But where's mom and daddy? Did mom and daddy fear God? Did they set these examples for their children? How about Moses, the lawgiver, after he brought the children across the desert? Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. Because why? Because he didn't keep that which he was supposed to do, did he? He sinned against God right there. Folks, we can all sin against God. Every one of us, no matter how great a man we are, no matter how great a man God has allowed a man to become, he can still do wrong. And in doing wrong, I could go all the way back to Adam. Adam sinned against God, but God loved him. You know, Adam loved God. God loved Adam, even though he sinned against him. We read about he made coats and covered them. Do you understand that's a picture of salvation? It was a blood sacrifice. God took the skins. I believe they were lambs. But he took the skins and covered them. After Adam and Eve tried to cover their own sin with leaves and stuff that they made with their own hands. See, that was a picture of God's love, picture of the Lord Jesus. See, we can't cover our own sin, things made by man. It has to come from God. And those skins that God made and covered Adam and Eve was a blood sacrifice. That's a picture of salvation. So even in their wrongdoings, God has continuously showed them that he loves them. And every one of us is going to do wrong at one time or another. You can be born again. You get saved today. You're still going to sin. We're stuck in these sin-cursed bodies until the trumpet sounds or until we go home to be with the Lord. So we're still going to sin. But that doesn't mean that we don't do the right things. That doesn't mean that we don't try to be obedient as Moses and Noah and Abraham. And we're going to look at another one or two as time allows. How about Job? I think Job's probably one of my favorites in the Bible. Turn over there to chapter 1, the book of Job. Right before you get to Psalms, you'll find it there. I want to read one verse. Verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, known, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and he eschewed evil." Now, when it's talking about being perfect, it's not talking about being sinless. It's talking about he was perfect in his genealogy, and he was perfect in his ways, in the ways that he did things. The uprightness, he's true in all of his dealings. It means he was a fair man. When he sold and traded, he traded the way he should have. It says he feared God. And what does it mean to have fear of something? It's kind of brings an anxiety to you, doesn't it? Or an unpleasant feeling. Well, when you reverence something, I don't know about you, but I had a little fear when my daddy looked upset, because I knew that judgment was about to fall. Amen? So that puts a little fear in you. But you know, we're supposed to have fear of God. We're supposed to fear him in his greatness and in all that he is. And today we're losing that. And it also says that he eschewed evil, which means to depart from. And Job was a good example for all of us fathers to follow. He was perfect in his ways. He was upright. He feared God, and he eschewed evil. So in other words, if we were to take up these same attributes right here, we would make pretty good fathers. And if you read on through the book of Job, it's a good book. If you've never read it, you need to do so. But you'll find out that Job prayed for his family and gave sacrifices for his family. The Bible says that he gave sacrifices for his sons and daughters in the event that they may have sinned against God. How many of us parents do we pray for our children every day? Do we pray for our children in case they did something wrong against God and they hadn't asked for God's forgiveness? Have you prayed and asked God to forgive them? Am I saying that you can pray and save your child? No. But I'm saying you can save your child from a lot of hardship. Prayer does work. That's part of it. When we go through the Bible and we look at all these things that we see, Abraham and Noah and all these other fathers that they do, that's what we're looking at, the examples of how God moved in their lives and how God did things. And that's for us to look at. We can look back and see how God moved in each of these men's lives and how they loved and honored God with their lives. And that's what, as fathers, that's what we're to do. We're to love God and we're to honor God with our lives and set examples for our sons and our daughters. And today, I just feel like today fathers don't take responsibilities for their families. Whether or not your child is raised up in the Lord is not mama's responsibility. It's daddy's responsibility. See, right here, Job took responsibility for his family. And that's our responsibility as daddies. We're to take responsibilities for our family. It's up to daddy to be the spiritual leader of the home. It's up to daddy to lead that prayer time before you go to bed. It's up to daddy to lead that prayer time before you go to school. And when you sit down at the table and you ask the blessing, daddy should be asking the blessing. Why? Because he's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. He's supposed to be setting the example that the children look up to. So when mama has to sit down and say the blessing every day because daddy won't say it, what's the child seeing? Folks, I'm telling you, that matters in a child's life. It matters when they see that daddy don't care or daddy doesn't reverence God in the manner that he ought to, because that's what they're seeing. That's what we're teaching our children as fathers. Folks, everything that we do every day, I can look back now, and as my children are grown, and thank God that they're trying to follow the Lord and doing the right things, but I still look back and I see so many things that I should have done as a father that I didn't do. But if I had have done them, where would my sons be today? Now, I've got one that's going to school to be a pastor. Praise God. I mean, I'm glad for that. But how much better would his life have been if I'd have done the things I was supposed to do as a father? And it breaks my heart today. I mentioned a little while ago about sitcoms. You turn the television on and father's some kind of clown in the household, because that's the way the world perceives the father. A lazy, worthless, no good for nothing bum that happens to be there. That's the way television shows daddy. Daddy's a big joke. Folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Daddy is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. Daddy is supposed to make the decisions. Now, I don't know about you, but in my house, I make the decisions. Now, if they're wrong, I got to suffer the consequences. But I make the decisions. You know, every now and then, I'll ask my wife what she thinks. You know, sometimes I'll listen to her opinion. Sometimes I don't. But she's okay with that, because that's the way we're supposed to do. Daddy's supposed to make that decision. Now, a lot of women don't like that, but that goes all the way back to the beginning. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And when we set those guidelines up in our home and our children see that, then they honor God that way. And fathers, just because we make the decisions, and a lot of people say, well, I'm the boss of the household. No, you're not the boss. You're the spiritual leader. There's a difference. There's a difference between a boss and a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader is somebody that's going to be like these men in the Bible, and they're going to follow the obedience of God, and they're going to do the godly things and live their lives according to the scriptures. That's a father. That's what a father is supposed to be. How about the Lord Jesus? Now, we know that Jesus didn't have any children other than us, right? But he was obedient to the cross. He did what God asked him to do. He was obedient to the Father. And that's the way we're supposed to be with our lives. We're supposed to give everything that we have to God. And folks, if we can't do that as Christians, think about this. If we as Christians, we say that we believe, if we can't love God enough to honor Him with our lives and our obedience to Him, how can we expect the world to honor Him at all? And when you see all the things that's going on in the world today and all the idiocy that's going on, we wonder, well, how can that be? It's because somewhere along the line, mom and daddy didn't serve and honor God in the way they were supposed to honor Him, especially the daddies. You know, it's our fault. Now, we can go all the way back to the garden, do like Adam did, and we can blame it on the woman, or we can blame it on the world, or we can blame it on God. We can blame it, put the blame wherever we choose to. But right here's where the blame lays. It's up to us. Because if we'll do like these men in the Bible did, and if we'll honor God with our lives, then our family will grow up to honor God with theirs. And it's important that we do that, amen?